Okay, picture this. You're 16,000 feet up, somewhere over Oregon. Just a normal flight, seems like. And then suddenly, boom, a piece of the plane just rips off. A massive hole where, part of the wall used to be.
Terrifying. And that actually happened. Alaska Airlines, January 5th.
Exactly. Not hypothetical. And it was, well, shocking. Everyone asking, how? How does that even happen?
Right. And that's what the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, has been really digging into for months. Their final report on that flight, the Alaska Airlines Boeing 737-9 MAX, it just came out last week, July 10th.
So for this deep dive, that's our mission. We're going to unpack that NTSB report. And fair warning, it reveals some pretty deep-seated issues. Manufacturing oversight, the whole safety management setup.
The very systems designed to stop this stuff.
We want to get beyond just what happened, Understand why the system failed like that and what it means for, well, for flying safety for all of us.
It's definitely a sobering look. And the central detail, the thing that NTSB confirmed after all this work, it's almost weirdly simple. Four key bolts. Bolts meant to hold that door plug in place, stop it moving. They were just missing, gone from the Boeing 737-9.
Missing.
Yeah. And that door plug, it turned up later in someone's backyard in Portland.
Missing bolts. It sounds almost too basic for a modern airliner, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Such a critical part.
It really does. But the NTSB also found this wasn't like an instant failure on that flight. They discovered the plug had moved incrementally upward during previous flight cycles, little by little.
Ah, okay. So it was sort of working its way loose over time.
Exactly. Until it finally gave way and detached from the plane.
Which suggests maybe there were signs, opportunities to catch it earlier if things were working right.
That's a huge point. That incremental movement implies potential signals, maybe vibrations, small shifts, things that that might have been caught with better checks or systems. And the report really drills down on where things went wrong. It traces it right back to Boeing's factory floor in Renton, Washington.
Okay. So what did they find there?
Well, a primary cause, they say, was Boeing not providing adequate training, guidance, and oversight for their workers. That's a direct quote. And what's really concerning, the report details that those missing bolts, they were apparently removed during some repairs at that Renton factory and seemingly just never put back.
Wow. So wait, not an initial manufacturing defect, but something that happened during a repair.
That's what the evidence points to.
That really shifts the focus, doesn't it? Right onto their internal processes, quality control during maintenance or fixes.
Absolutely. Accountability right there on the factory floor.
So how did this specific door plug end up in Renton anyway? Can you trace its path for us?
Yeah, it's quite a journey. And in hindsight, it looks like a series of mischances. It started life over in Malaysia. Spirit Aerosystems made the plug itself back in March 2023.
Okay.
Then it went to Spirit's place in Wichita, Kansas. That's where they installed it onto the main fuselage section, May 2023.
So multiple locations, multiple companies involved already.
Right. Each step is a handoff, another check, another potential point of failure or detection. Then the whole fuselage assembly, plug included, gets shipped to Boeing's final assembly line in Renton, arrived there August 31st, 2023.
And that's where the critical mistakes happened, according to the report.
That's where the bolts came out and didn't go back in. But even before Renton, there was a little hint.
Oh.
Spirit workers in Wichita actually noted a minor issue, a nonconformity with the door plug seal's flushness before they shipped it.
But they decided it didn't need fixing.
Yeah, they determined no rework was needed, said it was structurally sound. But it just shows, these things get flagged along the way sometimes.
Highlights the complexity, right? All these different stages and suppliers. So easy for something to slip through.
It really does. But the NTSB says the biggest breakdowns were definitely at Renton. They found some major process gaps. For one, apparently, there were no technicians who specialized in opening or closing these specific plugs working when this plane was going through that part of the factory.
Seriously.
Yeah. And then the employees who did remove the door plug, they didn't create a removal record.
Isn't that like standard procedure? Required, even.
It is. It's a required Boeing business process. They just didn't do it.
So, step one missed. What else?
Well, then the door plug was closed up again, but without securing the bolts and the other attachment hardware.
So they put the door back, but didn't bolt it in.
Seems like it. And then critically, a quality assurance inspection, which should have caught that. It wasn't performed.
Wow. It's like layer after layer of safety checks just failed or were skipped.
Exactly. A cascade of failures, like you said. And it points to a deeper issue. The NTSB also found Boeing hadn't fully implemented its own safety management system, their SMS.
Their SMS wasn't that put in place after other issues?
Yes. It was initiated way back in 2016 after a bunch of enforcement cases. Then it was modified again after those two terrible 737 MAX crashes in 2018 and 2019, Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines.
Yeah, I remember. Horrific incidents.
And yet, despite all that history, the NTSB says many issues within that safety system were still unresolved when this Alaska Airlines incident happened.
That's deeply concerning. It suggests the lessons weren't fully learned, or at least the fixes weren't fully implemented system-wide.
That seems to be the implication. How many times does it take, you know?
And wasn't there another review recently that flagged similar problems with Boeing's safety culture?
There was. An independent expert panel looked into Boeing's safety culture and processes just last year, and yes, they found flaws too.
So the NTSB report isn't really coming out of the blue. It confirms this pattern.
It reinforces it, definitely.
Yeah.
And the NTSB didn't just point fingers at Boeing. They also had criticism for the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration.
The regulator. What was their take on the FAA's role?
They criticized the FAA for, and this is their phrasing, a lack of enforcement compliance and oversight regarding Boeing's SMS program, basically saying the FAA wasn't watching closely enough, wasn't ensuring the system actually worked to find and fix risks.
So the watchdog wasn't watching effectively.
That's the NTSB's assessment. They said the FAA didn't identify and mitigate the risks.
I remember the NTSB chairwoman, Jennifer Homedy, had some pretty strong words about this whole situation.
Oh, she absolutely did. Didn't pull any punches. She said, quote, "The safety deficiencies that led to this accident should have been evident to Boeing and to the FAA should have been preventable."
Preventable.
Yeah. And she added, "But the same safety deficiencies that led to this accident could just as easily have led to other manufacturing quality escapes and perhaps other accidents."
Oof. That really underscores the systemic nature of the problem she saw. Not just a one-off fluke.
Exactly. It's a warning about potential future issues if things don't change fundamentally.
Okay, so given these really stark findings, what is the NTSB actually telling them to do? Let's start with Boeing. What are the specific recommendations for them?
Right. For Boeing, the NTSB laid out several key things. First, apply that SMS process, their safety management system, to how they write and revise instructions for removing parts and assemblies. Like, really bake safety thinking into the actual work instructions.
Make it practical, not just a policy on paper.
Exactly. Second, develop recurring training for the factory workers on when and how they're supposed to create those removal records we talked about, the ones that got missed.
But just that specific failure point directly makes sense.
Third, set up a proper, structured, on-the-job training program for manufacturing staff. And crucially, include a grading system to actually track if people are competent in doing the work correctly.
So, proof of competence, not just assumed competence.
Right. And finally, two more things. Keep working on the design improvements for these mid-exit door plugs, get those certified, and then issue a service bulletin to get all the planes already flying with these plugs retrofitted with the improved design.
Okay, that's a pretty comprehensive list for Boeing. What about the FAA? What does the NTSB want the regulator to do differently?
For the FAA, the recommendations focus on tightening up their oversight role. They want the FAA to issue an airworthiness directive that's a mandatory order requiring all those plug-equipped planes currently flying to get that design enhancement retrofit that Boeing is developing.
Mandate the fix across the fleet.
Yes. They also need the FAA to overhaul its own systems for surveillance and audits, how they plan inspections, how they track compliance, their record keeping, basically modernize their oversight toolkit.
Get their own house in order, essentially.
Pretty much. And provide better guidance and training for their own inspectors on how to spot, record, track, and follow up on problems they find at manufacturers. They also recommended the FAA keep its historical oversight records for longer than 5 years and make them accessible. Seems like maybe some history got lost.
Interesting. Data retention matters.
And a big one. Assemble an independent panel to do a deep dive review of the safety culture specifically within Boeing's commercial airplane division. The goal being to improve how Boeing develops and uses its safety management system.
So an outside look specifically at Boeing's culture, driven by the FAA.
That's the idea.
It really feels like a push for accountability on both sides, the maker and the regulator.
Yeah.
So where do the things stand now? What's the current climate like in the industry following this report?
Well, there's definitely change happening. There's a new FAA administrator, Brian Bedford, just confirmed last week. And he's already on record saying he'll hold Boeing accountable for safety and quality.
New leadership at the top of the FAA.
Right. And the FAA also renewed Boeing's ODA, their Organization Designation Authorization. That's the program where the FAA delegates some certification work back to Boeing itself, but with FAA oversight. They renewed it for 3 years starting June 1st, saying it's a tool to supervise and drive improvements.
So the oversight structure continues, maybe with more scrutiny now.
Hopefully, but the fallout for Boeing goes way beyond just regulation, doesn't it? There's legal trouble too.
Oh, yeah. Lawsuits from the passengers on that flight, right?
Absolutely. Multiple lawsuits filed by passengers against Boeing and Spirit AeroSystems, citing physical injuries and, understandably, psychological trauma.
Can't imagine going through that.
No. And then there's the Department of Justice. This Alaska incident basically blew open a previous settlement Boeing had.
The one related to the 737 MAX crashes.
Exactly. The 2021 deal related to the Lion Air and Ethiopian crashes that killed 346 people. Boeing had agreed to plead guilty to defrauding the FAA back then. Now, because of this new incident, that case is reopened. There's talk of a potential new plea deal where Boeing might pay around $1.1 billion to avoid criminal charges this time, but it's complex, and a judge still needs to approve whatever happens.
So huge financial and legal pressure still mounting.
Immense.
Yeah.
And it just highlights how critical this safety work is everywhere. There's another investigation ongoing overseas right now, different plane, different airline, but still focused on potential equipment failure.
What's that one?
It involves an Air India Dreamliner, a 787-8, that crashed back on June 12th. Tragically, 260 people died. The Indian Investigation Bureau just put out an initial report. No firm conclusions or recommendations yet, but they're looking closely at the Dreamliner's engine fuel control switches, made by GE Aerospace in that case, not Boeing directly, but still part of that complex aircraft system.
It's a constant reminder, isn't it? Aviation safety requires relentless vigilance across all manufacturers, all systems.
It really does, a global effort.
So wrapping this up, this deep dive into the Alaska Airlines NTSB report,
Yeah.
it's really exposed, well, a whole chain of issues, from surprisingly basic mistakes on the factory floor, like those missing bolts, to multiple failures in oversight, both internal at Boeing and external by the FAA. And it points to these bigger systemic problems in safety culture.
Yeah, it's so much more than just four bolts. It's about the system that allowed those bolts to be missed, allowed that plane to fly with a progressing defect, and didn't catch it until, well, until that terrifying moment at 16,000 feet.
It really makes you think.
It does, and it leaves us with a pretty fundamental question, doesn't it, for you, the listener, to consider. Given how incredibly complex modern airplanes are, with parts coming from all over the world and the constant pressure to build planes faster and cheaper, how do we actually guarantee that safety doesn't get compromised? How do we make absolutely sure that the critical safety rules aren't just written down, but are followed religiously, checked independently, and truly prioritized every single step of the way? From the very first part made on a factory floor somewhere, all the way to the plane you might be flying on.
It boils down to trust, doesn't it? And real, unavoidable accountability, especially as everything gets more and more complex.
Exactly. Trust and accountability in a very complex world, something to definitely keep thinking about.